Okay. It's the same text that we started with last week. We're going to finish out this week looking at being aid workers in an epidemic of loneliness going on in our culture and society. Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6. A father to the fatherless, a champion of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth prisoners to freedom. God fathers the fatherless. He champions the widows. He leads prisoners into freedom. And he sets the lonely in families. Last week, we began looking at the mechanism by which God does that. We began looking at the process. I told you my own personal story, how in my life I had perceived God as doing that magically, almost divorced from the people through whom the championing, the defending, the caring, and the fathering happened. And yet, the way that God fathers the fatherless, the way that God champions the widows, the way that God sets the lonely in families is through the mechanism of the awareness of the truest self inside of spiritual people. When we, people in the pursuit of God, when we, spiritual people, find our truest selves, we become the conduit by which God fathers the fatherless and cares and puts the lonelies in families. Throughout the history of spiritual people, there has been a consistent theme for those who would sense the inner voice, and that is care for others. Watch over the downtrodden. Extend mercy and compassion to those who are hurting. And if history is any indicator at all, we can expect that as we get in touch with our truest selves, when we find our divine center, when we hear the inner voice, that which the voice has been speaking for generations before us will continue to be spoken to us today. When we become aware of our innermost selves, we will hear the same voice calling us to care for others, watch over the downtrodden, and extend mercy and compassion to the hurting. Last week we talked about a point of specificity in our own culture where there is a great deal of hurting, and we said that we are in the midst of a time in our society where there is a gaping need for people to make connections. We used the term last week of a loneliness epidemic that is going on in our society today. That there have been a series of forces that have been at work for some time now that have broken the natural paths by which people make connections. Even people who have many, many friendships and relationships seem to not be able to make the kind of connections that their souls need. So we began last week talking about becoming aid workers in the midst of this epidemic. And as in any epidemic, as we step into the fray, if we would be effective, we must be properly prepared. And some of that preparation, we said last week, may be addressing our own tendency to feel lonely. But on the other hand, some of us have lives that are so inundated with people that we wish that we could have just a little bit of loneliness. But in both cases, we share an assumption. We share a foundational belief that we believe that somehow people can take away one another's loneliness. We believe that somehow people can take away one another's loneliness. We think that if we get a new girlfriend, we won't be lonely. We thought that when we were young. We think if we get the right spouse, we won't be lonely. If we have the right friends, we won't be lonely. But we saw, in fact, last week that what we can do is we can fill one another's desire for companionship for a short term. We can fill up each other's days with activities. We can distract one another for a time. But what we cannot do is we cannot take away one another's loneliness. Because loneliness erupts from a place that is deep, deep, deep within us. It comes from a place where there is a primal need for connection. And what we said last week was that the starting point for connection is for us to connect with our own true selves, to find our own innermost person. And for that, we've been using the image for some time, talking about hearing the inner voice. What we're really talking about is getting to know our innermost self. And if we would be people of God, and if we would be sensitized to God's call to go into the world and to bring light and to bring life, and if we would act compassionately in the face of this epidemic going on around us and love God's people the way that God loves God's people, if we would do that, then we must address within ourselves the mindset, the assumption, the belief from which this loneliness epidemic has arisen. The belief that people can take away one another's loneliness. And as workers in a loneliness epidemic, we must first be immunized against the virus from which the epidemic has come. We must find our own inner tranquility. We must find our own inner connectedness. We must have our own inner needs met. Otherwise, we are just going to project our need onto other people. For us to be aid workers, we need to walk the pathway of life and light that is found in the spirituality of Jesus. So, last week, we looked at some snapshots of what that spirituality looks like. And we saw these snapshots of Jesus introducing again and again solitude. Taking ourselves away from the noise, taking ourselves away from the activity, taking ourselves away from the people, and in our aloneness, connecting to our truest selves, finding our own inner voice, decompressing from the constant noise that goes on outside of us and the constant noise that goes on inside of us. And we saw that this was critical for us. This was critical for those who would follow the spirituality of Jesus. Solitude is the antivenom for the snake bite of loneliness. Solitude is the antivenom for the snake bite of loneliness. Because in solitude, we become sensitized. When we spend time in aloneness, as frightening as we saw it is last week for us to be alone, in that place of solitude, we get sensitized to our innermost and our truest self. And this is the beginning of the spiritual life. Because what we have said is that when we find our innermost self, there is an amalgam of usness and godness together. We spent a lot of time talking about that. For many of us, the spiritual training that we received growing up completely misconstrued this. In our concern and our desire to make super sure that we were not misled by our lesser impulses, that we were not misled by the greed that is inside of us, or the lust that is inside of us, or the pride that is inside of us, or the envy that is inside of us, to make sure that we weren't led by these lesser impulses, we worked very hard to make sure that we would quiet that inner voice, to make sure that we discerned God and weren't deceived by our sinful impulses. We worked hard to quiet the inner voice. We wanted to be certain that we were led by God and not led by flesh or sin were the terms that were used. We were trained to ignore our self, trained to ignore our inner voice, trained to ignore the very way that God has given us to connect with the divine. And so quite contrary to ignoring our inner voice, the spirituality of Jesus says that this is where one finds God. Jesus, we teach our children, is in our hearts, in the quiet recesses of our being. And now you may have seen this. I have certainly seen this. Many, many people wander through their lives compulsively looking for other people to come and give them voice, looking for advice, looking for support, looking for counsel, looking for some authority figure to come and say, this is all right, this is the way it's supposed to be. We have whole religious systems built up on that inner need to compulsively go out there and find some voice that will come and speak to us with authorization. Now, this is good to look for people, because often we do discern our own inner voices when it is articulated by others. You've certainly heard us talk about community here, but many are not looking for the emergence of their own voice when they are asking. They're looking for God in some other person's voice because they have lost contact with their own innermost self. So they're looking for any voice at all to come along and give the authorization for life. Now, the lives that we live are filled with challenging questions, and they start when we're really young. Should I go to school or should I look for a job? Should I work for this company or should I start my own business? Should I marry this person or should I wait for another person? Should I go into the military or should I vigorously oppose war? Should I cut myself off from this harmful relationship or should I keep the doors open for the possibility of reconciliation? And there are these questions that are so challenging and so difficult. These are just hard questions. And when we ourselves grapple with them, and as we observe everybody else on the planet grappling them, it's not hard to come to the conclusion that half of the world is asking the other half of the world for advice on how to live, all the while everybody sitting in the same darkness, not knowing which ends up. As followers of Jesus, we believe that the answer to these difficult questions is in the spirituality that Jesus introduced. It's in the spirituality that awakens us to the divine reality that is within us. As followers of Jesus, the spirituality of solitude and quite familiarizes us with our innermost selves, our divine centers. Now, when we spend time in solitude, we create that precious space in which we grow familiar with the voice, in which we grow familiar with our innermost selves. That's the place where Jesus prayed that we would be one with the Father as Jesus is one was with the Father. That's the place that knows everything that we need to know about our vocation, everything that we need to know about our relationships, everything we need to know about how to focus our lives, how to live our lives, how to focus our attentions. Everything that we need to know is there in the inner voice within us, for the Spirit of God lives within us. Now, I don't want you to forget, and I don't think that you could hear, that community is a critical part of the spiritual journey. However, sometimes we use community to avoid our inner selves. And when we do that, we misuse the precious gift that is community. The answer to the loneliness epidemic is found when we connect to what is truest and most real inside our very beings. And solitude is one of the more powerful ways that we do that. However, solitude is difficult. It's hard to be alone. And there's one thing that makes it particularly difficult for us. There's one thing that causes us to rush to plug up all the quiet and keep it at bay, to make our careers very busy, 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 and make our lives busy, 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 and make our families busy so that we don't have to listen to the quiet and don't have to be in that alone place. And the thing that drives that tendency is impatience. We are impatient. Life does not tend to arrange things such that answers to challenging questions come quickly. Life does not tend to arrange itself such that solutions to complex problems come quickly. They often come very, very slowly. And we are very uncomfortable with the pending status of awaiting a solution because oftentimes we think that solution may never come. And so we get very uncomfortable with unanswered questions. We get very uncomfortable with unsolved problems. When questions and challenges linger, we do not like it. No, not one little bit. So ours is a rush to get answers, a rush to get solutions. I have a problem. I need it fixed. If a relationship is uncomfortable, I need to get it fixed and fixed rapidly. If I don't like my job, I need to get that problem fixed and fixed rapidly. And so we are constantly pulled from being part of our innermost self by the raging quest to get answers and to get solutions. And so we fill up our time getting answers, getting solutions, getting answers, getting solutions, and there's no time left for being aware of our innermost self. Now, this is me. I like solutions to problems. And I think this is you as well. But what we don't do is listen carefully for the source from which those long-term solutions will eventually come, and that is our deepest and truest self. Problems have more to offer to us than simply the craving for a solution. They give us a chance to be considered and to be quiet and to be alone. They show us that we have been living from some lesser part of ourselves, and we have the potential of living from a more real part of ourselves. Lonely people usually have not connected to their inner voices. Lonely people usually do not have the time or the inner rest or even the desire to wait and to listen and to be alone. They want so compulsively that they pay no attention to the inner self from which solutions and answers will arise. There's an ancient proverb inscribed on many of the ancient Greek ruins. It's attributed to several philosophers. Some say that it was Socrates. There's five or six different Greek philosophers that this wisdom proverb has been attributed to, and it is simply this: know thyself. Know thyself. It is wise, the Greeks said, to be in touch with our deepest selves. Now we, as followers of Jesus, and we in our church, we spend a lot of time on this series talking about dancing with the divine, about how the spirituality of Jesus allows us to know ourselves, to find the inner voice, to be moved by the nudges of God, to be in sync with the movements and the flow of the divine that lives within us. Knowing, and we as followers of Jesus would say, that know thyself has a great deal of power because in our deepest selves, the Spirit of God dwells. And so knowing ourselves, we would say from a Christian perspective, as from a following Jesus perspective, that in our deepest selves, we are one with God. In our deepest self, the voice of God is commingled with the voice of our truest essence. And this is why it is so powerful for us to know the deepest parts of ourselves. This is why the answer to loneliness is solitude, because solitude opens us to knowing ourselves. As we get past the frenzy, if we get past the impatience, if we will accommodate loneliness, we come to know ourselves. We are less driven to find our needs met in other people. We become immunized from the virus that causes this epidemic of loneliness around us. And we are able to handle relationships without the pressure that this false belief that we can take away one another's loneliness has created. We become able to step into other people's lives as connection catalysts. Our presence can catalyze their connection to their own inner selves, their connection to the divine, and eventually the real ability to make authentic relationships one to another happens when we know ourselves. When we don't do this, relationships become very, very difficult. Friendship cannot be sustained. Marriage cannot be sustained. Community life cannot be sustained without access to our own truest reality, our own selves. When we are dependent upon someone else to take away our loneliness, when we need someone else out there to come and fix what's going on in here, our relationships become needy, and they become greedy, and they become sticky, and they become clingy. We make ourselves dependent upon others, and we make others fulfill a need within us, which really makes us exploitive of other people. Parasites drawing off of one another the energy that we need to go on. Without solitude, we use people to fulfill some need within us. Without solitude, we have needs sometimes we're not even aware of that we project on someone else to fill for us. Now, to be sure, having friends is fantastically fulfilling. However, if the aim of our efforts in life, if our strivings in life are to get that fulfillment that comes from having friends, it's not going to work out for very long. to be sure, working with people who are cooperative and who are nice and who work together well as a team, this is a gift from heaven. But if our sense of worth depends upon good co-workers, then we're going to be very sad people. And to be sure, receiving an encouraging word or an encouraging visit or an encouraging email or a word of affirmation, if we receive those things are wonderful to receive. However, if we cannot live our lives peaceably without them, then ours will be a very diminished life. It is quite possible to use all of these good things in order to sedate a fear that is going on inside of us, the fear of being alone. When people use other people to be medications for their own inner fear, well, that's not a very good foundation at all for relationship. What happens typically is that we devolve into complaining about other people because we have set things up such that it is their, not consciously, but unconsciously, we've set things up that it is their responsibility to meet this inner need. They can't do it, and so we complain. These people are not staunching our loneliness. They aren't coming by often enough. They're not picking up the phone often enough. They're not wise enough. They're not helpful enough. They're not fresh or interesting enough because I have projected onto them the need to meet this need. But deep and abiding friendships, on the other hand, true intimate connections with others, on the other hand, these are interior realities. They're not external ones. We can't make them happen. These things are a gift given to us by heaven, given to us by God. We can't plan them into happening. We can't orchestrate them into happening, can't organize them into happening. What we can do is be in the right frame of mind to accept these gifts when they are given to us by God. And the ability to be in this frame of mind happens when we become most alert to, most aware of, and most in touch with our inner, truest selves. And that is awakened by solitude. That is awakened by silence. That is awakened by quiet. That is awakened by the spirituality that was introduced to us by Jesus. This, being in touch with our inner self, being awakened to our inner voice, this is what immunizes us from the loneliness epidemic. This is what will prepare us to step out into the epidemic and bring light and hope and the way and life. This is what prepares us to help one another and to help others find their own inner connectedness. Now, the alternative to solitude is exhausting. Solitude is difficult, but the alternative is worse. The alternative to solitude, the alternative to being very comfortable with and in touch with the voice that is within us, with the divine center from which we live, the alternative to that is a constant need for the world to entertain us, to amuse us, a relentless drive to keep busy, 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 the endless need to be appreciated, the endless need to be validated, the endless need to be honored, the endless need to be recognized. These become anchors, and they will drag us down into the abyss of loneliness and into the abyss of isolation. If we need other people to elevate our mood, then we are candidates for loneliness. If we tire ourselves out with unending work in order to keep loneliness at bay, then we ourselves have succumbed to the epidemic. The alternative to solitude and knowing ourselves is exhausting. And when we're exhausted, we're not at our best. When we are exhausted, we tend toward knee-jerk, instinctive reactions to people and to circumstances. Instead of a considered and reflective response that comes from our truest center, instead of a considered and reflective response that comes from the inner divine voice that is within us, we tend to jag out from some point of neediness within us. The alternative to solitude is exhausting. The spirituality of Jesus, the spirituality that invites us into aloneness, yes, it is costly And it is demanding, but it does counter the exhausting alternative. Because when we connect to our innermost selves, we don't have to disengage from the world. We're not overwhelmed by people. We're not overwhelmed by this exhausting reality of keeping everybody lined up to do the things that we need them to do. We find in these everyday realities a way to live at peace and a way to live in order and in life and in goodness. Here's a quote from Henry Nouwen, who said, "Not too long ago, a priest told me that he canceled his subscription to the New York Times because he felt that the endless stories about war and crime and power games and political manipulation only disturbed his mind and his heart and prevented him from meditation and prayer." This is a sad story, he says, because it suggests that only by denying the world can you live in it. That only by surrounding yourself with an artificial, self-induced quietude can you live a spiritual life. If we come to know ourselves, we come to know the divine center. If we come to know ourselves, we train ourselves to hear the inner voice of the Spirit of God within us. And when we do, we become alert as we walk through the world. We become aware as we walk through the world. And what we don't have to do is pull back and surround ourselves with some compound in Montana so that we can retreat to a place of peace where we can control the environment. In fact, when we find our inner voice, when we get in touch with our innermost self, we don't have to control our environment at all. We don't have to control people at all. Because we are no longer exhausted by the proposition of getting them to line up with our interior narrative that keeps things going the way that we need them to go, we can listen for the inner voice and respond accordingly. We do not have to shape people to fill up our need inside, and we are able to respond in peace to the world as it really is. We are able to respond in peace to people as they really are. We are able to respond to circumstances in peace as they present themselves. And we do so with fearlessness. And we do so with an interior peace. The alertness that comes to us when we become aware of and responsive to the inner voice. The alertness that is bred in solitude and bred in silence makes all the difference in the world in terms of how we respond to the world. We become free of clutching. We become free of the greedy, needy impulse to get the world to do what we need the world to do. There's a powerful image in Scripture. It's in Psalm 131, where the psalmist says this, "I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." An unweaned child is the picture of frenzy. The rooting instinct, I think, is what it's called, where that baby is just looking for the breast. Gotta have the breast. Not an uncommon thing in our society. I remember when Haven was a little young, I had a button on my shirt and I was holding one time, and she's rooting around and she's looking for the button. Oh, I found the button, that'll work. That's the picture of the strive and the picture of the drive and the picture of the lack of peace. But the psalmist says, I've stilled my soul. I've quieted my soul. What we could say in today's context is, I have found solitude. I have become aware of my innermost self. I have begun to listen to and follow and respond to the inner voice. And so I am like a weaned child. I can be at peace and I can relax in the arms of the universe. I can be at peace and I can relax, for my soul is quieted within me. When we know ourselves, we come to a place of peace within. We do not have to clutch. Ours is not a greedy, needy impulse. When we come to know ourselves, when we sense the inner voice, the divine center within us, we are able to touch that which is truest about ourselves. And we are able to know that which is truest about ourselves. And we're able to live accordingly. And this is my desire for us. I enjoin you to carve out the space your soul needs for solitude. We live busy, busy lives. I know that's true. But carve out time to go to the garden, to pull the weeds, turn off the radio in the car. Find a space in the house to go and be still and quiet. And don't fill it with a book or a TV or a radio or something. Find a place for stillness. Find a place for solitude. Because when we carve out that space, solitude will indeed change our lives. Knowing ourselves will make all the difference in the world. So let's pray. Listen to these snapshots. Jesus went out to the mountainside and he spent the night alone. When evening came, Jesus was there and he was alone. Early in the morning, Jesus left the house and went to a solitary place alone to pray. After the people left, Jesus went to the mountainside to pray. Knowing that they intended to make him king, Jesus withdrew to a mountain by himself. Lord, may we follow Jesus to solitude. May we follow Jesus to that place where we know our innermost selves. May we follow Jesus to awareness of and knowledge of the voice within and responsiveness to the voice within of our God that dwells in our very being. And Lord, may we follow Jesus to that place of inner peace and inner quietness. In Jesus' name, amen.